One of the series that we were working on, and that would be love. which is so easily talked about, which seems somewhat ironic because at this point, I guess I should be saying Happy New Year. Yes, we're into the new year, and believe it or not, it's not even January. Yes, we've been trying to do this show since January, almost a month now, because we had connected up and was going to do our annual Belle Let's Talk Day. And we're still going to do that because today's topic would be about mental health and leadership. And basically, from the substance of a book that I'm writing or written, Who Prays for the Pastor? And so, and Who Prays for the Preacher? Because what happens is we get so carried away trying to help everyone else, and people think that we don't go through anything, and then we are always left not really getting the help that we need or the support that we need. Now, here's the other thing. Mental health and leadership. Leadership can mean pastoral ministry. It can mean governmental. It could just even mean in the workplace. It could be anywhere where there's someone who has to be in charge of others. And so everyone has to take care of somebody's well-being, but then what happens when it goes to the top? We're so used to things from the top trickling down, but what happens when it has to rise up to the top? And that's what the only thing I know that rises is heat. Amen. And so we don't always get the help that we need at the top of the ladder because everybody just assumes, well, they've got everything together. They're supposed to have everything together. And that's the person that everybody goes to when they don't have it together. So who prays for the people in charge? And that's one of the things we're going to address today. Plus, we've already dealt with this before in one of our segments about church and counseling, mental health, because the church doesn't always address it. We have one shout-out for someone on the show today, too, who actually helps people set up their counseling ministry within their church and their programs. So that's awesome. But we're going to keep moving. So yes, Happy New Year. We are actually in our Black History Month now. So don't worry, we're still going to deal with that, but not today, but definitely next week. We for sure will be touching base because we cannot let Black History Month go without addressing accordingly. Of course, we're still posting. So remember, we're bloggers, we are writers, we are authors, and we are posters. So you can still find us on social media. Just because you don't hear us doesn't mean we're not busy working, because trust me, we are busy. So don't forget, you can connect with us still on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. And TikTok, yes, 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 TikTok. Busy on TikTok, amen. But now that we've gone into our new year, because I know you guys haven't heard from me probably since the end of last year, right before the holidays, and so I'm praying that all of you have gotten through. I've gotten all the contacts, updates, and information. We're slowly coming back to what we call normal because it's been very busy. And, of course, we've been dealing with a lot of bad weather here in Canada, so it's been very difficult to try to commute around the city by way of vehicle because of the amount of snow that we keep getting. We got one of our biggest snowfalls ever a few weeks ago, and I'm not joking when I tell you we're still digging our way out. Yeah, we're still digging our way out. And so every time it snows, everybody panics. We don't even know where to put the snow that's already there from the very first storm, and so it just keeps adding up, and they clear it, and they do the best they can. But and now we're going through thaws and cold. So if it's not snowing tremendously, it's usually frigid cold. We've had a lot of frigid cold days. It's become a normal winter now. And then all of a sudden we'll get peaks of really nice weather, which is a little strange. And so we're trying to deal with this because it's a little screwy and it's really messing up our ecosystem because we've had a lot of flooding in parts of Toronto and other areas, which is not good. But, you know, we have to continue to persevere. And, you know, it's funny because I think I mentioned this to my mom that, you know, everybody's always trying to pay an arm and a leg to get property close to the water. Huh. a seaside lakeshore lakefront property is not always the best anymore, because when these things start overflowing or they become hurricanes, because I think there was even tsunami watches out for a couple places. It's not always good to have beachfront property, amen, because then you have to deal with all of these issues. And so you're probably better off at dry land and high up in the mountains, amen. And I'm sure they probably have their problems there too, no doubt, because everywhere is not perfect. But we still give God thanks, amen. So tonight we're going to address some of the situations that we're dealing with respect to mental health and leadership in association. It's a little late, but it's the Bell Let's Talk Day. So we won't say Bell Let's Talk Day, we'll say Bell Let's Talk. And we're going to continue to talk. And as you know, we continue to always want to address some of the things that may not necessarily be friendly to the church, but we have to deal with it, because if we're going to help the world, we have to be knowledgeable of the world. Amen. The Bible says that we should be of the world, but not in the world, because we do have to exist and we have to be around other people. So we can't just, you know, as we would say, you can't be so heavenly bound and no earthly good. Amen. Praise God. And so that's why we want to address some of the things that may make some ministries a little uncomfortable. But you know what's so good about having your own ministry? You don't have to answer to anybody else except you and your God Almighty and nobody else. Amen. So, but during this time, we've had a few things take place, so we just want to address some of those. Sadly, during the holidays, Sir Sidney Poitier passed away. We're going to talk about him and address some of him next week during our Black History Month. Awesome actor and certainly a gentleman, if nothing else. I was actually watching one of his movies last night. They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. So I wasn't researching. It just happened to be on, and I was so thrilled because my husband and I, we spent some time searching for Sidney Poitier movies during our holidays. But the thing is, where we were staying, we couldn't really access the movies that we wanted to get. And then there was one that we watched off of, I think, YouTube. And here's the joke, because we thought it was a Sidney Poitier movie, and so we started playing it, but we kept watching this entire movie, enjoying it, but still upset because he wasn't in it. I guess somebody out there in social media world has Harry Belafonte mixed up with Sir Sidney Poitier. I'm not sure how, but yeah, I won't even go there. We should really address this next week of the Black History Month anyways. But yeah, we ended up watching a Harry Belafonte movie, but it was still good. Amen. Praise God. But they were friends, and they did do movies together as well, so we have to acknowledge that. But we want to pay respects to Sir Sidney Poitier. Also, yes, during this time, not so long ago, Betty White, we thought she would outlive all of us, and she was amazing right up to the very end, and she passed away. And I watched the, they did a tribute to her, and it's actually surprising how many young people idolized this woman and respected her and were thrilled to say that they actually performed with her, and they went back to her legacy of where she started, and, you know, Mary Tyler Moore Show and different shows that she was on, the Golden Girls, and she was just an awesome lady. So she certainly will be missed, and she's left a great deal of a legacy, because when the young people can talk about you, then you know you've done well, amen, because what they say, you transcend many generations, and that's not an easy task. I, as an old woman, can tell you that. So, also, we want to give shout-out to a colleague of ours. She's in media, a Christian media, right here in Toronto. This is a tough one. Her name is Tracy Acadia Thomas. We actually did an interview, a very intense, intimate interview with her during the Christian Film Festival here, Unplanned, and it talked about pregnancies and abortion, and she shared her heart with us about her abortion that she went through and where it left her spiritually. And so we encourage you to look it up, Unplanned. You can check out our shows from the past, and it'll be posted, and you can connect with them all over wherever we have them. We're, you know, syndicated, so you'll be able to find it on various programs. If you're not sure, you can always email us as well, PastorJGrosnerShow@gmail.com or PastorJRouseShow@gmail.com. Yes, we still have all the Rouse emails and connections. And you can also contact me at PastorJGrosner@gmail.com. Okay. All right. So, unfortunately, she did pass. She had a beautiful magazine. And she's a very sensitive spiritual woman. And she was always, she was one of those people that would give. She gave herself. She gave her heart. She gave her mind. She gave her spirit. She would have given her last penny. Amen. And she has her amazing magazine that she put together, as well as their show, because they literally started videotaping things, her and her husband, Alistair. And unfortunately, Tracy passed. I believe she was 45, very young. Just hours of a tribute of a memorial that they did for her. I was watching and sharing, and just, you know, it was just phenomenal. I think I had the hardest time at the very end because they had a video of her singing I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston's song. Well, we're going to say Whitney Houston, but some would say Dolly Parton, but we know whose song it was. It was really Dolly's. That she sang her song. She sang that song at her uncle's funeral, I believe, and they had a videotape of that. So literally at the end of her memorial, they played that, and that was really hard to watch with her singing the words. And if you know the words to the song, it's somebody saying goodbye, you know. And so it was just so sad. So it was sort of like her saying, you know, take care, goodbye, and I'll always love you. It was just so intense. So, you know, we have to thank God for every breath. As the song says, every breath we take, every move we make. And we know he will be watching us. Amen. Praise God. All right. So we wanted to acknowledge that. Also, Michael Thompson, a DJ, not in the Christian realm, but still very well known to a lot of people in our community. He also passed days after Tracy. I think actually days before Tracy, about a day or two before Tracy. So, you know, we definitely want to keep their family in prayer. And certainly we continue to lift them up. We also want to give a shout out today to Pastor Eric Tucker, another friend of ours and another guest that's been on our show several times, a very dear friend of mine, phenomenal minister with the AME Church across the border in Michigan. His father had passed away. And so they're preparing to lay him to rest. And so we know this is a difficult time for them. I did quickly speak with him just so he could know how much we love him and how much we're feeling for him. We want to give a shout out to my friend and beloved friend and sister in Christ, Sister Hetty. She lost her godmother. You know, age has its timing, and unfortunately it was her time. And so she shared a tribute to her today as well. So we lift up that family as well. But, you know, we're still in our pandemic stage. Yes, I look forward to the show that I can actually say we're no longer in this pandemic. But right before the holidays, this Omicron version of it, it was not as severe, but it was more powerful. I'll have to explain that. Basically, what's happened was the Omicron, it spread faster and quicker, even more than the Delta version of it, but it tend to be a little bit milder than the full power of the original COVID virus. But, you know, people still lost lives. There were people who weren't vaccinated that lost lives. There were people who were vaccinated, and they went through some times too, depending on what kind of underlying conditions they may have had, or age played a factor. So, you know, it happened. And so lives were still being lost, but it was not as severe as it was when it first came out. So we're hoping, at least here, it seems we're slowly reaching the peak of the Omicron. You notice this at Omicron because that version of it may be slowing down. My prayer is that it's on its way out and it's just weakening at the end, trying to make a last hurrah. But apparently we're peaking, and so we're lifting more restrictions here. And, you know, we just continue to pray, continue to listen and do what you're supposed to do, and continue to take care of yourselves, and certainly continue to take care of others. That's the thing we need to do. We need to be mindful. Also, next week, we're going to give a quick shout-out, too, to the 100 Accomplished Black Canadian Women Organization. Yes, Pastor J. Wright Grosner has been named as one of the honorees for 2022, and I'm truly honored. A couple years ago, it was another award. I guess they wanted to watch out for me, and I guess they watched and liked what they saw, but it's a different organization. And so I'm going to share some more next week because I want to acknowledge some of my honorees that you guys even know who have always been with our show, some friends and some colleagues that have been part of our show were also winners, or as I call them, honorees of the award for 2022. And it's the top 100 accomplished Black Canadian women. They call it the 100 ABC women. And so we will address that next week. But I do want to give them a shout out, and I want to thank the committee. Obviously, Jean Augustine, the Honorable Dr. Jean Augustine, is one of the founding people of this organization. We will name everybody next week, definitely because of Black History Month, and acknowledge them and share a little bit about what they do and who they are. And we are truly grateful for that. Amen. So we will continue to do so. But in the meantime, what we want to do is we are going to get moving along. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we will pray and get started with our show. But in the meantime, we have to remember that all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You're listening live to the Pastor J. Grosner Show. Keep it locked.
And tearing at the seams, pride, because I felt let down, let down, let down. But I won't always receive good, I know. But say, Lord, I love you more, and let it enough to know. Keep that day. I can see your ways are so beyond me, Lord. But I need to. Tuned in to the Pastor Jay Grossness Show. You're listening to the Pastor Jay Grossness Show.
Give a shout out. Someone just called in. Unfortunately, they hung up before we could get to them. So if you want to call back, you can. But we also want to remind you that Jesus loves you, and so do we. All right. There's someone else who has passed away. And yeah, nobody we're deeply connected to and nobody we know personally. But it kind of ties in with what we need to discuss today. And it's Regina King, actress and Academy Award winner, Regina King. And we're going to read an article about it shortly, but it's just very sad. And I think what we need to do is we need to be mindful. Amen. Her son, Regina King's son, Ian Alexander Jr., he died by suicide. And it's says here he cared so deeply. So obviously somebody who was hurting, and that's just really sad. And so we have to be mindful of those who are really hurting right now, who can't really express how they're feeling and share. And that was on January 22nd. So we want to, again, give a shout out to Regina King and her family. I know that it's been at least a month, and so they've had some time to deal with this, but we already know you can't deal with this because this isn't anything that goes away and it stays with you. So we will definitely continue to keep her in prayer as well. We also wanted to acknowledge minister and prophetess Juanita Bynum, who also had her mother pass away in the last month, and they had paid very big tribute to her and her passing. And so we lift up the Bynum family as we had been praying for all this time as well. And today we also continue to pray for the sick and the shut-in and for those who are mourning and grieving. I also want to give a special prayer for the homeless. Yeah. It's sad that we should even have to do that, but there's a great deal, and they're around the world. It doesn't matter. It could be hot country, cold country. It makes no difference because they're homeless and they have no shelter. And even though when it's hot, you think, well, they're not freezing to death. Yes, but if it's hot, it's still too hot. And so shelter is definitely a part of what we need to protect us from the elements. And a lot of people don't have that. Some don't have food and shelter, the necessities of life. Amen. And so we continue to pray. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly to your throne of grace and mercy. And Father, we ask that you continue to watch over us and to keep your hands upon us. And Father, you've seen all that is going on in the world with COVID and so many other things. And Father God, we pray right now, Father God, for healing in the name of Jesus. We speak a hedge of protection around those that COVID would not touch them, and if it does, that it would not harm them, Father God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we speak to it right now and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we pray for those who are grieving and mourning the loss of people in their lives and their loved ones, Father God, however they may have come to you, Father, that it makes no difference, Father. We just know that life is lost and love is shared and hearts are broken. And so right now, Father, we know that you are a comforter and you are the one we come to and look to in our very time of need and in our times of trouble. And Father, we can do nothing without you. So Father, we come humbly to you this day. And Father, we lift up the sick and the shut-in. And Father, we lift up the homeless, that you would continue to make a way out of no way, Father God, and that you would provide and supply you who has a cattle of 1,000 on a hillside. And you have all the riches and the glory according to your wealth and your prosperity and all, and the creator and maker of all things, Father, you can make all things possible. So continue to help those in need, Father God, and those who can give, Father, that they would have a heart to give and a heart to share and a heart to bless, Father God, and not be looking for anything in return. But Father God, we just ask it right now. But Father, you also know all of our situations. You know our heart's desires. You know our needs, our wants. You know all. And so, Father, we continue to trust and rely that you have a plan and that we can be faithful and steadfast and unmovable and have the faith to persevere and continue as we wait on you. So we leave it here, Father, and tonight we ask that you would have your way now, Father God. Have your way, touch lives, move mountains, and continue to use your words and not mine. We leave it with you now and ask together in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are
worship
show.
Magazine, and it says Ian Alexander Jr. was King's only child, my, whom she shared with her ex-husband, record producer Ian Alexander Sr. Regina King's son, Ian Alexander Jr., had died by suicide. People confirmed this. His 26th birthday was just a few days before. She says, our family is devastated at the deepest level by the loss of Ian, King says in a statement sent to People magazine. He is such a bright light who cared so deeply about the happiness of others. Our family asks for respectful consideration during this private time. Thank you. Ian's death was officially ruled a suicide by the Los Angeles County Coroner, a spokesperson confirmed to people on that Monday. He was King's only child, whom she shared with this ex-husband. Following in his father's musical footsteps, Ian was a DJ. King previously told people that he was an amazing young man. Despite her growing success as an actor and director, King said that at the time, that Ian was her biggest source of pride. After separating from Ian's father in 2007, after 9 years of marriage, King admitted being a single parent wasn't always easy, but that nothing is stronger than her love for her son. You don't know what unconditional love is. You may say you do, but if you don't have a child, you don't know what that is, she explained at the same time. When you experience it, it is the most fulfilling ever. In honor of his mom's 50th birthday last year, Ian paid tribute to the multi-hyphenate on Instagram, yes? Writing, happy birthday to my mom, my co. So extremely proud of you and inspired by your love, artistry, and gangsta. To be able to watch you take this lifetime by its neck and make it yours is something I will forever be grateful for. He continued, but as to have you as my mother is the greatest gift I could ask for. To be all that you are a while always having the time to be there, love and support me unconditionally is truly remarkable. The whole Marvel Universe ain't got anything on you, and I'm just filling in that word, on you, with you're the real superhero. Love you, Mom. This day and every day, yo day. The pair also has matching tattoos, which read unconditional love in Aramaic. Mm-hmm. His on his shoulder and hers on her arm. We were taking Kabbalah classes, King said on the ink on the View in 2017. He said, let's choose three designs each and not tell each other which ones they are, and whichever one is matching, that's the one we're going to get tattooed. And we both chose unconditional love. Ian has often also accompanied his mom on the red carpet, including in 2019 when he called her Supermom while at the Golden Globes. She's just a supermom, he told E! News. She doesn't really let bad work days or anything come back and ruin the time that we have. It's really awesome to have a mother who I can enjoy spending time with. At the time, King said Ian made her happier than anything in the whole world. And then this was reported. So I can't even begin to imagine. So what we're here to address today, too, is leadership. And yeah, she is in a form of leadership because she's very much in the public eye. And it's very sad to know that she has to go through such grief and such sorrow. I know we've had ministers, worldwide international ministers, who've had losses. We know of a minister that we covered here on our show, very well-known international famous minister, whose son also dies by suicide. And so you have to start to wonder, when you're supposed to be the strongest one in your church or in your public life, is very hard because everybody's watching you. Everybody's watching you not just to see what you're doing, but they're watching to see how you do it and how you get through it and how you handle anything, everything, and all. And that's not an easy task. And so this is why we need to address certain things in the church, because being in the church and a member of the church, it's wonderful if you can actually have counseling. And I've got to also acknowledge that sometimes the counseling isn't there. We've covered this before, because sometimes your church doesn't have a proper counseling ministry, or maybe your pastor does some counseling, but he can't provide all the counseling. And sometimes you need specialize in certain types of counseling that may not be feasible or through the capability of the church itself. And so then they have to reach out. And there are churches that don't do that. So some churches, they can't even reach anyone to get counseling. Two, some churches aren't equipped for that type of counseling. They may be able to do grief counseling. They may be able to do marriage counseling, couples counseling, family counseling, marriage counseling, obviously. Sometimes they can even deal with some other personal things. And they even do this thing that they're big thing now that they're calling life coaching and just helping you steer in the right direction through spiritual means. But at the same point, I mean, if somebody has a drug addiction or a sexual addiction or they suffer from a wide variety of maybe anger management, or they could have a mental illness. They could be bipolar. They could have personality disorders. They can suffer from severe depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. The list could go on and on. And so it's very important that if the pastor or whomever is doing the counseling in the church, if they have that type of program available, if they're not able to address it, that they're able to guide their members to get it. And that's why it's important. So we still want to give a shout out to Regina King. Now, here's what we want to talk about, because we came across a couple more articles that we want to share with you. Now, this one is important because it gives us a perspective. And this one is called Impactful, Purposeful Prayers for All Local Church Leaders. So let's see what this says. Remember, who prays for the preacher? Amen? Being in leadership is a blessing from the Lord. But with that blessing comes an extra weight of responsibility that at times asks much of a leader. Not only this, but leaders are charged with leading others towards Christ, which means they need prayer to stay on track, to not become discouraged, and to hear the Lord speaking. Leadership promotes attacks from the enemy. And that's why this list has been created, so that we can lift our brothers and sisters in leadership up in prayer. What to pray for leaders? Well, we've come across this, and they've given us several lists. And we have another article that has a few lists. One, pray for wisdom. Two, pray that leaders do not grow weary in doing good. Amen. Three, pray for humility. Four, pray unity and love in the leaders' families. Five, pray for trust in God. Six, pray for encouragement. Seven, pray for godly friendship and connection. Eight, pray for boldness. Nine, pray for guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit. 10, pray for connection with other leaders and ministries. 11, pray for growth. 12, pray for the love of God. 13, pray for protection from temptation. 14, pray for health. 15, pray for unity. 16, pray for purity. Amen. 17, pray for sincerity. And 18, pray for abundant blessings. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Y'all can just skip to 18 for me. Thank you very much. Praise God. All right, so the above list of 18 prayers is not in any specific order and is only a fraction of the things that leaders need prayer for. But let's dive into each of these and pinpoint specific areas within each of these prayers. Why pray? It's easy to fall into a pattern of thinking that leaders are superhumans or super Christians, but in reality, they are human and face the same battles that lay people do. People who step into leadership roles set foot into positions of influence, guidance, and more responsibility, and because of this, they can face much opposition from the enemy as well as their own flesh, not to mention the load of balancing family, ministry, and everything in between. Prayer is our most powerful tool as Christians. Not only is it our way of speaking with and connecting to our Heavenly Father, but it is a means by which mountains are moved and lives are changed. Amen. Not only this, but Scripture continuously instructs us to pray for one another as well as those in authority. And this is found in both the Old and the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 1, 1-4, it says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. So this is why we pray. Because the Bible instructs us to, and because prayer is powerful and effective, it encourages and uplifts and helps people in impossible circumstances. So now let's dive into some specific areas that we can pray for. We said one was pray for wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we read of King Solomon asking God for wisdom. He tells God that he is a child, he is but a child, and in need of wisdom to rule the people rightly and to distinguish between right and wrong. Solomon recognized the need for wisdom to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord and to lead the people in righteousness. Check out 1 Kings 3, verses 7 to 9. Now, because of the faithful request for wisdom, God honored him tenfold, giving him more than he asked for, and his kingdom was established and at peace because of this. Let's take this principle and apply it to our church leaders, that they would be given much wisdom and discerning heart to distinguish between right and wrong. Pray that church leaders would be instructed by God on how to carry out their duties in a godly manner with wisdom and confidence. Two, pray that the leaders do not grow weary in doing good. As a leader, it can be easy to look at the outside of things and become weary by what seems to be a lack of progress. Building a ministry or working to grow people in the church is a process and can lead to burnout for many reasons. Check out Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Prayer that leads would remember the original call from God so that they fix their eyes on God and his leading rather than all the things and situations going on around them. Pray that they would be refreshed by the Holy Spirit and that he would give them the strength to press on through the difficulty. Three, pray for humility. Since the beginning of time, humility has been an issue for people. Humans often struggle with an internal struggle of staying humble, and when given them a platform, a name on top of it, and this increases the difficulty of remaining humble before the Lord. Check out Micah 6, verse 8. Pray for openness to what the Lord and others are saying. Pray that leaders would be protected from the schemes of the enemy and that they would offer their hearts to God daily. Amen. Four, pray for unity and love in the leaders' families. Leadership is demanding and it's easy to make it your first priority and forget your family. While it seems that it's a worthy and godly cause, thus making it okay to give more time to ministry than family, this is actually not biblical. I'm going to repeat that. Leadership is demanding and it's easy to make it your first priority and forget your family. While it seems that it's for a worthy and godly cause, thus making it okay to give more time to the ministry than family, this is actually not biblical. My word. And check out Psalm 128, verses 3 and 4. So pray that first God and family would come before ministry. Pray that families grow in love and unity as they pursue the Lord together. Pray that the leader and their spouse would be one mind and would pursue God-fearing relationships with submission towards one another. Pray for the children of leaders that they would see the love of God in their mother and fathers and would seek to know God personally for themselves. I like that. 5, pray for trusting God. Perhaps one of the greatest lessons that this person has learned from the Old Testament was through the life of David, and was God-fearing king that led the people in and to righteousness and humility. Through the course of David's life, we see a pattern of him waiting on the Lord and completely trusting in him in times of absolute uncertainty and trial. When things seemed as though there was no possible solution or way out, he held true to the word and character of the Lord. Because his trust in the Lord, David was counted a man of God's own heart and blessed among the nations forever. And I encourage you to check out Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. With that in mind, pray that leaders would receive a double portion of trust in the Lord. Pray that they would not become discouraged and turn to the right or to the left, but they would be leaders who pray and wait upon the Lord in the darkest times imaginable. Pray that they would be able to lead others into the same trust through examples of their own lives, and that God would bless them richly in faith in him. Amen. 6, pray for encouragement. Pray against discouragement in leaders. Everyone experiences discouragement or downheartedness, so it's important that leaders are lifted up and encouraged by those around them, both in prayer and in words, as well as deeds. Check out Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Along with that, pray that God would use people within the body of Christ to encourage leaders, but not only what people encourage in passing, but they would seek out ways to encourage local church leaders. Pray for creative ways of encouragement to be carried out, and pray for encouragement that speaks directly to the leader's heart. 7, pray for godly friendship and connection. If you feel as though you're leading a cause or an organization by yourself, it can become very lonely, whether married or not. It's important that leaders have friends that they can connect with on a deep level. We are created as relational beings for the purpose of worship and fellowship of and with God, and part of this relationship with people. It is crucial that everyone have a good, godly connection. Check out Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. Pray that leaders would form friendships with people who they can connect deeply with, and that will sharpen them and help them to grow. Pray also that their friendships would be God-centered and fun. Amen. 8, pray for boldness. Prayers for boldness is something that can and should always be prayed for, as leading others can cause leaders to doubt, or in some cases, for fear what people think and second guess what the Lord is speaking or leading. Check out Joshua 1, verse 9. Pray that leaders would have the hearts of lions, that they would speak truth and lead as the Lord leads them. Pray that fear would be far removed from them, and that every doubt would be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Pray the church leaders would be filled with boldness to seek out opportunities that they would never normally seek. 9, pray for guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit. Leaders are charged with great responsibility of guiding and leading the people in direction that leads to deeper walks with God. Along with this, they are the vision casters of the church, which means they set forth the goals and things that they aim to achieve. This is a big task that requires the wisdom and guidance of God, not just our human intellect. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 14. Pray that leaders would be led by the Holy Spirit and that they would know where He is leading and guiding leaders and the body. Prayers that leaders would have wisdom to follow the path that God sets forth, and that path itself would be clear to them to follow. Amen. 10. Pray for connection with other leaders and ministries. Throughout the Old and New Testament, you'll find that God clearly brings people together and creates connections that glorify His name, and this is one of my favorite aspects of the church. You can be in America in a small town, yet have connections through a local church across the world in Mozambique or Nepal or Malaysia. God just loves. Amen? God just loves connecting and unifying the body of Christ. These connections work as a partnership in furthering the kingdom of God and reaching the lost for the glory of God. And this is why we should pray that local leaders form connections with other ministries and leaders, whether they are Christians or not. Okay, you heard that. Check out Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Pray that leaders would have divine appointments from God with others, just as God brought the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip together. Pray that there would be partnership and connection between ministries across the world, and also pray that God would provide connections with local government leaders and others in places of influence. Number 11, pray for growth for anyone. Pray for growth for anyone. There is a danger of getting comfortable at the place that you have reached. But the Christian life is one of constant growth and going deeper with God. Additionally, leaders can only lead to depth. They have their own lives, so these are very important things for both leaders and lay people. Check out Hebrews 6, verse 1. Pray for leaders to be taken deeper and deeper each day in the walks with the Lord. I love this prayer. Pray that God would take them to new depths in Him and that they would be bold in asking difficult questions of the Lord. Yes. Pray for growth in talents and leadership, that God would give them a supernatural understanding of leading others rightly and boldly. I like that, rightly. That's important too, not just boldly, rightly. 12, pray for the love of God in leaders' lives. Love is a very purpose. The church does what the church does because God loves us so deeply. We have given identity and purpose and our commission to spread that love to the world. Therefore, we need to be diligent in pursuing and showing love for leaders while also praying on behalf of them that they would understand the love of God on a deep, deep level in their own lives. Check out 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3. Pray that leaders would be surrounded by the love of God, that those who struggle with believing in God's love for them would receive a revelation of God's everlasting love. Pray that lies of rejection and condemnation would be shattered in the love of God. Amen. Pray that leaders would grow in God's love and would love their families as well as the church, the way Jesus does. 13, pray for protection from temptation. Temptation is something that every soul on the planet faces. And since this is the case, we need to earnestly pray that our leaders focus on other things apart from combating temptation. Yes. Check out Luke chapter 22, verses 39 and 40. Pray that local leadership would recognize temptation and be empowered to combat it in the Holy Spirit. Pray that leaders would have the strength of Joseph to take drastic measures to avoid temptation. Pray that God would give a supernatural grace for leaders, that they would be protected from the lusts of the flesh and able to easily from it, be away from it and look to God. I think there's a word missing. Turn away from it and look to God instead. Pray that instead of temptation, leaders would be filled with a deep hunger and thirst for righteousness. 14, very important, and I struggled with this about a year ago, literally. Pray for health. Health issues are pretty straightforward prayer requests. Nobody should have to face sickness in the body. So pray over local leaders' health. Check out the third, it says 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. I think that's right. It says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." I'm going to have to double check that scripture. Something doesn't seem right. Pray that leaders would be protected from both minor and major illness. Pray instead that there would be lasting health in their bodies. Pray for energy and physical strength to enjoy activities of all kinds, as well as to press on in ministry and carry out goals and tasks efficiently. Chapter 15, pray for unity. Number 15, pray for unity. Unity seems to be a big topic in leadership and the church as a whole. When you have multiple people in a room with different methods of approaching tasks, issues, and goals, it can get messy fast. Not only is there a human element, but there's also a spiritual side to things. The enemy loves to stir people up against each other and cause dissension and disunity. This is why it is important to lift leaders up in prayer that they do not fall into this trap. Check out 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Yes, the other one was, I'm going to double check, it was 3 John chapter 1 to 2. Okay, continuing. Pray that leaders would submit to one another in humility and that they would love each other well, as in 1 Corinthians 13 teaches. Pray that leaders would seek the Lord in their own personal time so that they have a heart of respect and humility to walk in unity. Pray that leadership teams would be strong, tight-knit, and unified, that God would bring leaders together in love and friendship and respect. 16, pray for purity. Sexual sin in the church is no small issue, and the number of churchgoers that watch porn, yes, I'm going to say it, on a daily basis is staggering, and pastors and leaders are not exempt from this massive issue. To put this into perspective, here are some statistics of Barna Group. 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. Of young Christian adults, 18 to 24 years old, 76% actively search for porn. No one is exempt from facing sexual sin. It has been an issue from almost the beginning of time, and it is serious issue in the eye of God and causes many leaders to stumble. Therefore, we should fervently seek the Lord for our leaders as well as our church concerning this issue. And check out 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 6. Pray that leaders would not seek accounts. Pray that leaders would seek out accountability in sexual purity. Pray leaders would not shrink from speaking about sexual purity, and that they would not be ashamed about it. For those who are stuck in sexual sin, pray for courage and confess and get help and, here's the key word, counseling. Yes, okay. pray that no stumbling blocks or temptations and sexual sin be placed in their path, and also pray that leaders would be vigilant and on guard against this issue. 17, pray for sincerity. Being in ministry can easily turn into a job like any good thing we consistently do. We can quickly become dead to the reason, and we are doing what we do and work for wrong gain and all around wrong reasoning. And it should be noted that the society we live in here in the U.S. is a deeply consumeristic one, and this has leaked into the church. This leads us to praying over those who face the temptation of desensitization and wrongful pursuit in ministry. My word. Check out 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. Pray that leaders would not sell out or turn their ministry into means of gaining profit and filling pews. My word. Pray that leaders would work hard to speak truth and nothing else. Pray that consumerism would not lead those in leadership to close their mouths when they ought to speak, or vice versa. Pray for sincerity in motives and actions, and the leaders would not preach one thing while doing another. Pray that their steps would be guarded against this, and that they would walk with authenticity before God and man. Pray, number 18, pray that God would bless leaders. This is the prayer I want to get to. Okay. The last prayer on this list is one of blessing. Leaders work so diligently for the church's benefit that thus deserve to be greatly blessed for their labor. And it says that, check out 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 to 9, but I'm going to read this one. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So, pray that leaders have an abundance in all that they do, that whatever they ask would be given tenfold. Pray for financial provision and blessings and grace in all that they set their hands to do. Pray that they would see the fruit of their labor and would be given an increase in wisdom, talents, friends, family, and all that God has given them. And the church said, amen. Can the church say amen? Praise God. And it's important that we know this, amen, and that we serve a God who will continue to keep his hands upon us and keep us centered, amen. And so we need to focus on this and know that God is able, amen. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Jesus, Lord, I want to be like thee. Draw me closer to you. Take my hand and lead me through. Draw me closer to you. In all I say, draw me closer to you. Take my hand and lead me through. In all I say, and Lord, all that I do,
all that I do,
just draw me closer to you. Oh, when I
More in store at the Pastor Jay Grossner Show.
Another article too, and it's another list, but right now I'm just going to try and see if we can scan through it because it's a 10 list of powerful prayers for pastors and leaders. I just want to compare it to what we've just read and see if there's anything additional that we need to add. So the article starts off, many of us have seen the statistics about the stresses the pastors deal with as part of their call to serve God and church. Do we do about it? How do we tangibly help our pastors in their calling? How do we practically guard our church family from unnecessary heartbreaks? As a pastor's wife, I've come to realize one of the most valuable blessings comes when I pray and when others pray for my husband and our church leadership. People can offer hands and hearts until we are all worn out with serving. People can donate money for awesome causes. We can have and experience all kinds of amazing things together as a church. But without the covering and lifting power of prayer, those fruitful moments can get troubled and robbed all too quickly. So she sets out 10 areas in which you can pray over your pastors, leaders, and church in general that will bless and protect your church leadership. And each point is based on scripture, of course. And so here we go. Now we're going to go through. Now, the first one they put on the list was pray that pastors can remain steadfast. And I think I mentioned that in our prayer earlier. And it says, everyone, especially those in helping, in people helping professions, can feel like labors are in vain. Your pastor is no different in his vulnerability to discouragement. I remember a story about a fellow pastor's family. The pastor, who was building his home, finished hanging some sliding closet doors. His wife came in to find him just gazing at the doors. When she asked why he wasn't moving on to the next thing, he replied, because I needed to soak in a moment of done. People's needs at church are never done. Evangelism is never done, my word. Nothing with my work is ever done. But these doors are done, and it feels really good. Amen. Your pastors and leaders need prayer, support to help them stay the course, because the work is never done and can tempt you to feel like your labors are in vain. So 1 Corinthians 15:58. Lord, please cause and fill in the pastor or the minister or the leader's name to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in your work. Help them to know that their toil is not in vain. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2, pray that pastors and leaders can diligently stay the course. And I think that was similar to the same we've read before. It says, as a pastor or leader, you can get called to serve by serving, but you can actually forget to feed the spiritual gift that was entrusted to you. Pastors get pulled in so many directions that the importance of their calling can get lost in the shuffle of all the other demands. I remember a seminary professor telling us about a dear friend and fellow pastor who resigned because he could no longer bear the bickering of his congregation. The bylaws of the church allowed a vote for every single line item in the budget. The lengthy meetings over whether they should have pink or white toilet paper, I guess that was a thing when they were serving, took their toll. The well was dry, and he was out of there. Pink toilet paper became a sort of code word for my husband and I to remember to not let little things muddle the eternal. So pray for your pastor to not be pulled off the course of the calling, for the Lord to provide opportunity for the leaders of your church to fan the flame entrusted to them. And she quotes 1 Timothy 4, verses 14 to 15, and reads, may, and again you fill in the name of your pastor or the leader, not be distracted, discouraged, or doubtful, and thus neglect the spiritual gift you have given him or her. Give them the tenacity to take great pains to maintain the path you have cleared for them and to be absorbed in the work you have laid before them. In Jesus' name, amen. 3, pray for your pastor's confidence. We talked about that and being bold. There's the 4, pray for words of encouragement. We talked about that. 5, pray for wisdom, again mentioned. 6, pray that leaders can fulfill the mandate of Scripture. Okay, sometimes it can be tempting to fill needs with people only because those people are available. Sometimes leadership roles are filled with people who are at one point did meet the scriptural requirements but are not now, struggling and backsliding. My Lord, pray for the leadership to hold the line and stay the course of biblical mandates for leadership. Amen. All right, and that was referred for Titus 1, verses 7 to 9. And number 7, pray for pastors' equipping. Let's see what that says. It says, my husband and I both went to seminary. I wanted to be equipped, an equipped helpmate for him. For all the seminary lectures, conferences, and years of experience, there are still moments when I come to juncture and have to return to my Lord for more equipping. While that sounds fine and good, in a moment of intensity, it doesn't always feel good or easy to realize you don't have the tools for a situation. There are good times to slow down and choose to meet the Lord in your prayer closet and Bible study. I've noticed that while serving, it's tempting to make a knee-jerk reaction that brings more from a perceived need for instant resolution rather than a deep understanding or proper equipping for the dilemma. Pray for your leaders to be equipped and to have the grace to pull back from a situation to seek out the right equipping before engaging a situation. Amen. Number 8, I like this. Pray for the women of the church. I like this. Let me see what they say. The saying goes that behind every amazing man is an even more amazing woman. Amen. Perhaps. But one thing for certain is that women play a vital role in the church. Jesus was supported largely through women. Elijah was supported by a woman. David was guided into wisdom by a woman. Paul took time to address the relational issues between two women who served in their church because their peaceful relationship mattered so much to the overall health of the church family. So, pray for the women of your congregation to be the blessing God has called them to be. Amen. Number 9, pray for fulfillment of fellowship, and we said that. What's this? I see something about 20 years. We live in a culture that increasingly struggles to connect. It isn't only apparent in the church. It's in the schools and 4-H clubs. It's in workplaces and community centers. Organizations that flourished 20 years ago now struggle to find people with enough passion or time to commit. Of course, organizations need to adapt to a changing world, but if 20 years ago people were able to sit for 30 minutes around a dinner table to share life with their own flesh and blood, and now they are too busy for even that, it's no wonder no one can find time for the rest of it. My word. So fellowship is a special sacred facet of the church. It's the notion of family, of belonging. Jesus gave it to us when he referred to us as his brothers and sisters and gave us the right to call God our Abba. In a culture where families are so often shattered and connection happens through screens and devices, we must prayerfully protect the fellowship of the church. Pray for it to be effective. Pray for it to be real and deep and joyful. And pray for your leadership to have opportunity to sit in the shade of friendship within their congregation as well. We all desperately need the fellowship of our church family, perhaps now more than ever. Amen. And the last one I like, I'm going to read it, says, pray for your benefit and joy. Your pastors or leadership team are human just like you and may require your patience as they grow through something. They grieve. Their hearts get weary. They are sometimes wrong. But at the end of the day, God has chosen so graciously to work through leaders as humans. You can rest your confidence in God's design to get his agenda and accomplished, even when a leader is less than perfect. When an individual rests in the Lord's design that way, instead of demanding from the leader something that even God himself might not demand, we actually end up experiencing more fulfillment and blessing. If we are hard sheep, we become a burden to our leaders, and scripture tells us this is no benefit to us. Pray for yourself and your congregation to be a joy to your church leadership. Most leadership teams I've known were exceptionally encouraged and fueled forward when they felt the joy of serving. Who knows what a little extra joy might do in your church? Amen. And that's Hebrews 13:17. And it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that the work will be a joy, not a burden. That would be of no benefit to you. I have to agree. Amen. Remember, you want to be a joy and a blessing to them because you want them to not only be there, but you want them to be glad that they're there. And certainly, you want them to know that they are wanted, that they are loved, and that they are appreciated. And you can't fight them on everything. They didn't come to battle you. The church is busy fighting a different battle, and it's not your pastor. Amen? And so we have to be very mindful because we tend to not realize what we're doing. Amen? And we have to be mindful. We don't want to stress them out. We want them to be appreciated. You're listening live to the Pastor Jay Grosner Show. We'll be right back. Keep it locked.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Oh, help me sing.
Jesus, compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm all alone, your hand is
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
much more in store at the Pastor Jay Grosner Show.
About mental health, we just want to give a shout out to everyone out there who is struggling and going through something, and just know that God has always got a way through, amen. And so this is why for the ministry's 20th anniversary, yes, it's 2022, and yeah, this year, May 14th will be 20 years for Grosner Ministries, formerly Rouse Ministries. I myself have been in ministry for about 22 years to be exact. But yes, the 20th anniversary of the ministry, we are reestablishing an old ministry with a new twist, and that's the New Beginning Services International, where we offer our usual pastoral care, but we also do Christian counseling, faith-based counseling. We continue with bereavement and grief counseling as well, and we're expanding it on its capabilities. And we're also, well, I myself am studying some crisis management courses as well, from some established universities, John Hopkins and the University of Toronto. And so, you know, they say you got to study to show thyself approved, and I study the word. But as it says, you have to also equip yourself for some of the things that you need to be equipped for your ministry, and this is part of it. And I've done some psychology studies before, a long time ago, and so I want to enhance what I'm doing to develop New Beginning Services International to be of a greater help to some in the community as well. We'll continue to keep you posted about that. But in the meantime, there's a lot of people who didn't understand. Like, they understand pastoral care, but they didn't quite understand Christian counseling. And so we just want you to hear a little bit about what is Christian counseling. And also, we're going to share a doctor who actually, and this is for the churches out there that are trying to run organizations, that want to set up some sort of counseling ministry within their church. This is what she does, and you can hear how and what and get her name, okay? So we'll be right back. Keep it locked.
Christian counseling is pastoral counseling that draws upon psychology and Christian practitioners approach psychology through the lens of the Bible. Christian counseling began in the end of the 1960s leading into the 1970s with the biblical counseling movement directed by J.E. Adams, which brought to attention in his book Competent to Counsel a Christian-based approach which was different from the psychological and psychiatric solutions of the time. He was a devout Protestant who believed that it was the job of the church to heal people who he believed were morally corrupt, but labeled by society as mentally ill. He rejected other models of counseling, such as the medical model, which gave clients a medical diagnosis based on a list of their behaviors or actions. Adams believed the lists of maladaptive behaviors listed under each diagnostic category were actually behaviors emanating from our volitional nature, rather than an illness we were suffering from. Maladaptive behaviors are a matter of sin and therefore subject to confrontation and education in God's Word, exhorting the client to choose behavior that is obedient to God's Word, thus removing the sin in their life. Adams disagreed with any attempt to reclassify our behavior that removes us from complete responsibility for our choices. Adams gained converts but also lost popularity among people as well. Adams' model of nouthetic counseling identifies many scriptures that a counselor may use to exhort clients to change their behavior and come into obedience and away from sin. The term nouthetic is derived from the Greek word noutheteo, meaning to admonish. Critics, however, point out the complexity of God's creation and that telling an anorexic to eat because starving themselves is a sin, is not likely to be an effective method of treatment for eating disorders, nor many other issues clients present with that have intermingled biopsychosocial cultural origins as identified in scientific research. Prior to this movement, counseling had become something more secular and not associated with the church. People such as Charles Darwin, who questioned the book of Genesis and how life began in his book Origin of Species published in 1859. This caused panic in the church because it called into question everything that the church believed at the time. Following in that direction, later Wilhelm Wundt, a main contributor to the scientific method, introduced it to psychology and claimed that one's biological makeup was the reason why humans are the way they are. He was one of the main drivers behind psychology being looked at in the scientific realm. In addition to Wundt, Sigmund Freud believed that the church had failed to counsel in the correct way, so he came up with psychotherapy, the talking therapy, apart from the church. These were driving factors behind why the responsibility of counseling was moved away from the church and began to be secularized. The church began to fall behind the ever-changing scientific field that seemed to blossom quickly. When Adams did come along, he brought the attention back to the church, but his influence faded in the 1980s only to be continued by David Powlison. Powlison converted to Christianity in his adult life, publishing a journal, Journal of Biblical Counseling, that made his beliefs known and was extremely influential in this movement. Because of his work, biblical counselors reflected on their movement and began to seek ways that it could improve what had never really been called to question before. His aim was to advance what had already been started by Adams. Efforts to combine counseling, psychotherapy or other scientific or academic endeavors with Christian or other religious perspectives or approaches are sometimes called integration. Integration of academic subjects with theology has a long history in academia and continues in many colleges and universities that have continued their founding religious underpinnings. There are multiple kinds of integration, as it has been defined differently over the years. The way in which Christianity has been integrated with psychology thus far is by considering the ways in which psychology and the Bible agree and not integrating the teachings of psychology that don't agree with the Bible. While this tactic is still in progress and continuing to be looked at, there have been significant efforts to try and integrate the two. Two men, Stanton Jones and Richard Buteman, came up with a list of three different methods on how to integrate psychology and the Christian faith. The methods are called pragmatic eclecticism, metatheoretical eclecticism, and theoretical integration. The first method, pragmatic eclecticism, looks at the best solutions for resolving patients' problems based on previous research comparing different methods that have been used. The second method is concerned with the effectiveness of the counselor and looks at the tactics they are using that are beneficial and those that are not. The third method takes theories that are previously existing and makes that the baseline from which further research can build upon. What all integrators of Christianity and psychology do believe as underlying truth is that all truth is God's truth. Christian counseling focuses on a few main principles that are different from traditional counseling. It focuses on the care of the whole person, body, soul and spirit, as it is also sometimes named soul care, and maintains the values taught in the Bible. The aim of Christian counseling is to help people regain a sense of hope for their life that is found in Jesus Christ. Faith-based counseling has been increasingly sought after in recent years. When people seek counseling, people are open to the idea of having their lives transformed and changed in a positive way. People are searching for answers in the midst of pain and suffering that is experienced in life and to obtain meaning for their life. Christian counseling believes that at the core of what they do is to help others achieve a better understanding of themselves and God, which is rooted in the Holy Spirit's conviction. People become aware of the sin in their lives that has caused them suffering, but also come to know the immense worth and value they have as a person to God. J. E. Adams published Competent to Counsel in 1970, criticizing the influence of psychology throughout Christian counseling. He began the Nathetic counseling movement, which teaches that the Bible alone is sufficient for all counseling. While New Ethic counseling is strictly based on the biblical scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit separate from any psychological implementations, Christian counseling tries to implement psychology and Christianity, still keeping God and biblical truths in the picture. While they do not take psychology as the absolute answer or solution to problems that people face, rather it is used as a tool in unity with Christianity to help people have a deeper understanding of themselves and God. Therefore, Christian counseling should not be thought of in opposition to psychology, but as complementary. It is not a competing religion. Though some Christians do reject the teachings of science completely, others think that they shouldn't have to be separate and that they can be integrated together. Christian counseling aims to do just that.
Are you a pastor or a church leader? And if you are a pastor, do you have a counseling ministry within your church? Hello, my name is Dr. Carolyn T. Long, and I am a therapist, a minister, an author, and a consultant. And I want to talk to you briefly today about establishing a counseling ministry within your church. Statistics reveal that 5 to 10% of the congregants that sit in your church every Sunday are that about 5 to 10% of them will be unable to, as we say, sit under the word to get the healing and deliverance that they need, because so many of them have been so severely wounded. And while I know that the word delivers and the word sets free, and while I know that it is spirit and is life, and while I know that the word will set people free, there are people in your congregation that will need the extra touch. I call it the extra touch ministry. So whether you would be interested in a counseling ministry that may cover various facets within your church, or whether you would like to focus on those in the extra touch category, I am available to help you establish such a ministry. As someone who has experience in planning, establishing, implementing, and operating a church-owned counseling ministry, and combined with an addictions ministry in a large, when I say large, approximately 5,000 member church for 6.5 years, then I come with the experience to help you do the same in your church, whether it is a small, medium, or large congregation. It includes consulting with you and your staff and providing training where needed. It includes assessing what you would see as the needs in your particular body, and then taking that information and beginning the planning work, helping you to decide what type of ministry is best suited for your congregation and what can be realistically provided. For instance, whether or not you would want to draw upon professionally trained staff, or whether you would want to develop a lay counseling ministry, or a combination of the two, professional plus lay counseling. I also have experience in training a large staff of lay members to work along with professionally trained counselors. As I mentioned, the counseling ministry can include your addictions ministry, and that is addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to sex, or to a variety of other addictions, as well as a divorce recovery ministry. The consultation I provide would include as well training necessary to help you solicit and gain the support of your church governing board so that you can move ahead with planning. I could help you assemble those in your church who may need the training, the skills, and the credentials, but who may not have the experience in organizing such a ministry. I would help you to know how to interface with your new counseling and addictions ministry and with other ministries in the church. For instance, your missionary ministry, if you have a marriage and family life ministry, singles ministry, outreach ministry, can help you to know how to interface with those ministries. I would help you to know and to understand the legalities and the ethics of having such a ministry within your church and how to keep your ministry out of court. Helping you to decide on the actual startup of your ministry to include consultation and training of staff, helping you to establish a budget and operating costs with projections obtained from the assessment, helping to decide on and to organize your physical setting for your ministry, setting up the office, developing the forms for the actual operation of the ministry that will meet legal requirements for the state and for federal guidelines, and deciding or helping you to decide on a criteria for inclusion of church members or to have them take advantage of the ministry once it is established and up and running. And lastly, how to bring the ministry to the body, to inform the body that you're starting up this ministry and to help you to develop a series of teaching to get the whole body on board with such a ministry. So if you are the pastor or a church leader in your particular church and you have been wanting to start a counseling ministry but maybe did not feel that at this time you had someone to help you with that, then this is a resource that is available to you. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this segment. And if there is any way I can serve you, please do contact me. Thank you for listening again.
Inspiration for your soul. The Pastor Jay Grossman Show.
Taking place, pandemic and all, we have blockades and protesting to a magnitude here in Canada right now, and it's going around the world. People are getting tired of the pandemic. People are getting tired of mandates. People are getting tired of masking. People are getting tired of being tired. Amen? And so we have so much labeling that we put on everybody these days, and it's unfortunate. So today's post, from the pastor, from the desk of the pastor, I wrote, saved or unsaved? This is the question. Remember when the only question you used to ask was, are you saved or unsaved? Because that was the only thing that mattered. And if they weren't saved, you knew you had to love them like Jesus while showing them the only way to be saved. God's people have been divided from the beginning of time. Even the church has been divided because of the denomination and evaluated God's saints like I order ice cream from the ice cream man. You were either dipped, dunked, sprinkled, or drizzled. Now we are all up in everyone's Kool-Aid with other questions that continue to divide mankind, the church, and now even families and married couples. When, and I say when, because this pandemic will either fizzle out or we will just have to adjust to living life with it and remain wise in exercising safe ways to look after ourselves and look after others. So when this is all over, how much more will we be divided and know that the body of Christ, the bride, is in so many pieces that the bridegroom will have nothing left to come back for as God watches from on high and feeling low. The bride clearly needs counseling because we need to get it together and come together and remember what really matters is the love. Israel wandered in close proximity to their land of milk and honey for too many years to mention, like driving downtown with all the traffic and still not reaching our destination, but only to keep passing it by and going in constant circles. Love your neighbor as yourself, even when you don't agree. And trust me, some neighbors will push you close to losing your religion, but then you not only pray for them, but you pray for yourself. God does not allow things to happen he doesn't want. What will be your testimony after the test? Amen? And so we added, your test will become your testimony. Today's test is tomorrow's testimony. And that the storm that was sent to break you is going to be the storm that God uses to make you. God will turn your test into a testimony, your mess into a message, and your trial into triumph. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, we will connect with you again next week. And until then, as my grandmother would say, keep sweet. But remember, loves you and so do I. God be with you until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor Jay Grossman Show.
Thank you.